Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. And joining me on the other end of the line, Rob Groom. It is Monday.
Good morning.
It's a sucker. Did you just come back from vacation?
Yeah, turkey season opens Saturday in Tennessee. Yeehaw! No more oozing for me, boys. I get to get on that private life.
So I see that you were on vacation last week.
Well, I don't know if I'd call it a vacation, but my kids,
can we still call you a spring breaker then?
No, it was my kid's spring break, but if it had been my spring break, I would have gone to, like, I don't know, Destin or Orange Beach or somewhere and watched the hilarity down there from those kids where I was 20 years ago or however long. Yeah, it was 20 years ago. Good God. But, yeah, I would have gone down there and watched those kids and been so happy. Tried not to get in the middle of it, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, no, my kids, I think I talked about this, I may not have, but my kids like they don't care. Like we take them to the beach a couple times a year, but they don't care about going, like, you know, down to the beach and freezing for spring break. They're cool. Like, one year we take them to Atlanta for Legoland, and then we took them to Opryland because they got that new water park, and then they'll go, like, Peabody and crap. You can just spend money on a hotel and they're happy. I have no idea why, but it works out perfect. So, yeah, we decided this year we got take them to the Opryland with that new water park, and boy, that thing's cool.
Oh, that's where you were.
Yeah,
I thought you were at the beach. Okay.
No, I was at Opryland.
Not that I saw you surfing, and I thought you were at the beach, but I thought you were like at a resort down on the coast, and they had one of those things to surf on.
Yeah, they have little cruise ships and stuff too, apparently, but I haven't, let's see how to put this. I was not ready for that. My 3:30 appearance was much better than my early morning.
Let me say this, and I'm speaking from a bigger brother to a bigger brother. Looks like they need to speed that water up just a little bit for you. That surfboard was laying a little flat against the mat.
It was flat and it was flexing. Yeah, that's why I had to go get. I've got my own surfboard. I had to drive back to Jackson to get my surfboard and come back. That thing was just too weak and too little. I need a lot more support. And it's a cool deal. But I mean, you know, if I was 140 pounds. You know, that little board, I would have tore it up. And bless that young lady's life that had to deal with me and hold me. I should have got her name and tipped her. I should have pulled her in the water with me. We could have double surfed.
You know, those videos, not taken away from your video because it was great, but some of those people that try to do it, and they get caught up in that wave, and they just roll and roll. It's almost goes back to what we talked about at Christmas with the death wobble. on the whatever the hover, whatever you call those things.
It's 100% death wobble. There's no question about it. And I mean, when I walked up, first of all, you got to sign a waiver. You got to sign your life away. And then when I walked up, she was like, boogie board or surfboard? And I just gave her this look like, what are you talking about? She's like, okay, surfboard. I'm like, yeah. And so I got on there and, you know, was showing out and, you know, Liz didn't take any video when I was like spraying people and doing tricks. She just wanted the falling videos. But one of my kids wanted to do it. Thank God he was about 4 inches too short, because it would have been a disaster. We'd be in the hospital.
So I'm guessing that the surfboard, there's more room for error versus a boogie board.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean you're just asking for a broken bone when you do that. And I mean, that wall back there in the back, it looks padded, but it's not as padded as it looks, especially when you hit that thing going about 15.
How fast is that water coming out right there? I mean, it seems like it's coming you up. It's moving so quick.
It's coming out pretty fast. I mean, it's rolling. I don't know how fast it is, but it's scooting. I mean, I probably, you know, should have lost my pride and done the boogie board once, but after I did so well on the surfboard, I was like, hey, no reason to get on a boogie board now.
Hold up. This just in to the End of the Line podcast desk. Josh Criswell has killed the I-55 bird. You heard it here first.
No. No way.
I-55 is dead. And the reports that I'm getting is Criswell's all smiles with tears running down his cheek.
I'm so happy and sad at the same time. That turkey has given us so much enjoyment over the years. I'm really sad I'm like him. I'm laughing and crying. I'm glad he got it, but boy, whew, that's an expensive turkey.
I would pick through the meat just to find all the pellets.
Oh, you
just
have to
see how many pellets in him.
If he doesn't mount that turkey, he should be shot.
That is a legendary turkey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people that know about that don't even know Criswell. I'm telling you, honest to God, Rocky, the first 3 or 4 times I heard about him missing this turkey, I didn't believe it. I thought everybody was joking. And then, like, he missed it twice in one day. And I mean, just it's crazy. And he's a turkey killing machine. So I mean, for him to have this one turkey that's been trolling him for 3-4 years, I mean, the dang turkey, I mean, he missed it twice in one day. And then one time, I can't remember if his gun jammed or he's out of shells or something. One time he shot at it and ran out of shells. We got to get him back on here. But I'm happy for him, man. What an amazing turkey. Golly.
We will have Criswell on for Turkey Tuesday tomorrow to tell this story.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, the thing that a lot of people know about the I-55 bird. Y'all birthed that status of that bird last year when me, you, Spencer, and Josh got on the podcast. I guess it was probably March of last year, middle of March.
Yeah.
If you want to go back and find that podcast talking about the I-55 bird, it's there. But I'm like you, Rob. I think that the thing that people don't understand, a lot of birds give a lot of hunters, a lot of turkeys give a lot of hunters a fit, but usually it's because they're not a good hunter.
Right.
The thing about Criswell that I want you to understand, what Rob said, Criswell is a freaking killer.
Yeah, I mean, for God's sakes, Criswell's hunted with the Freddie King. So, or I don't know, Freddie might have hunted with him, but at any rate, yeah, I can't wait to hear that. That's going to be a good one, man. I'm excited to hear about it. I'm going to call in here in a little bit, try to get a pre-game story and see what all went down, because that's good stuff.
Oh, it's awesome, man. I mean, I'm like you. He is. Grizzle, I know you're probably going to listen to this, but you got to get that turkey mounted.
Oh, immediately. Put all the customers back. I mean, that thing's got to be done like this week.
Whew. Jeez. He said that according to him, the spurs are about an inch and a quarter is what he was just guessing.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. It's awesome. He better save the freaking bullet casing too, because I mean, he's probably got half a shell box laying by that tree where he's been shooting at that thing for 3 years or 4 years, whatever it is.
Well, hey, last week we kind of predicted on the NCAA tournament. Where does your prediction stand as of today? Are your team still in it?
Mine are still in because of the NCAA fix last night with Duke. UCF should have won that game. The NCAA wouldn't let that happen. So mine are all still in. Tennessee keeps squeaking by. I mean, I think they're really, really good, but they just keep squeaking by. The Rebels, I don't think they won. I think it was like 117-27, something like that. Pretty impressive, though, that Kermit got them to the NCAA in the first year. Really don't care what anybody else says. Pretty shocked about Mississippi State. Oh, Hugh Freeze got them again. You know, the Liberty Flames. The best part about that whole thing is, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but there's this beat writer for Mississippi State. I think he's in Jackson anyway, but there's this beat writer for State, and he always, always talks about us. He makes fun of us. He talks about how our fans leave early, how we're fair weather, just all, like, he's always talking crap about Ole Miss. Well, during our game, he posted a meme of this guy standing there and his house on fire, just standing there like, he's like, meanwhile, in the Ole Miss game, and it's showing, like, flames and stuff. And then, of course, you know, 7 hours later, Mississippi State loses to Liberty. And so everybody is just trashing this guy. I read that thread for an hour and a half the next day. It took me that long to read it all. It was so awesome. And I don't know if he deleted it yet, but last time I checked, he had not deleted it. But, yeah, so anyway, I hate that. Mississippi School showed out in the tournament. But, hey, I mean, at least we got there. I mean, you know.
Hey, I'm going to play Let's Piss Everybody Off. Let's Piss Everybody Off Monday, okay?
All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
I think, especially in the major sports like basketball, college athletes should be paid.
100%.
Who, you 100%. Know, I mean, going to disagree with us?
Let me tell you why I think they should, okay? From 18 to 22 years old, they're in their prime, okay? They may have prime from 22 to 25, 26. The average NFL player lasts 3 years. Okay, and I think you got to play six to get pension. How many years do you have to play to get pension? Six, five, six. Anyway, all right. So they put their bodies up for 3 years in college, get beat to crap. Okay, tear up their knees, tear up their shoulders, tear up concussions, all that. Okay, then get to the NFL where it's impossible anyway to get in the NFL. Then you get drafted. And you still got to pass all this crap. They know what happened in college, all this stuff. These contracts, these TV contracts, these $100 million contracts and stuff that the NCAA is making all this money on, and the SEC, all the conferences making all this money, none of it's going to the players. It's the most unfair thing I've ever heard of. What if you're 18 years old and you're a rapper? What if you had to go rap for free until you were 22? What if you came up, like, with some internet sensation? What if you came up with Facebook, let's just say that, at 19? And, you can't get money and go to college. You're not going to be an amateur anymore. That's the biggest bunch of crap I've ever heard in my life. It's absolutely horrible. It's not fair. I don't care if you're in college. I don't care if you're the best player on the team or if you're basically out there just to get your butt beat in on the practice squad. You should be getting paid to do that. There should, I mean, there, look, there, we all know that the good players and their families are getting paid. Everybody knows that, that has any sense at all. The people that are like, oh, no, they don't get paid. They just get their books and little severance or allowance, $114 a week or whatever. Those people are idiots. The guys that are good, these kids that are five stars that come in, the Greg Littles, the A.J. Brown, the, all these guys are getting paid big money in their families. And it may not all be big money, Leo Lewis. It might be 10, 20 grand, whatever. But that's a lot of money to an 18-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
All that's happening, okay? That is 100% fact. That's happening. There are bag men. This is the way the world works. If you don't think this happens, then you're absolutely insane, and you probably work doing some, like, you know, you work in one of those, like, you have, you know, 50 employees in one building, and you just sit there all day and handle complaints. Because there's no way that you can honestly look at yourself in the mirror and say these kids aren't getting paid. Because the good ones are, and they should be. They should be getting paid a whole lot more than they are. They should have a system to pay these guys and to make it right, because it's not right, man. It's just too much. It's too much on their bodies. It's just too much.
Let me make a couple of points real quick. One is schedule. You know, back when I was in college, I sound like an old man saying that. College athletes had time in the day to, they have 4 or 5 hours to do what they wanted, 6 hours in a day. Now, you're literally tied to a schedule all day long. Anywhere, you're getting anywhere from $800 to $1,100 right now. Well, apartment rent alone in Oxford is $500 to $600 a month just by itself. You're supposed to live off of $300. Imagine to yourself living off of $300. And this is where I had my breaking point this weekend. The NCAA put out that they provided free Wi-Fi to all basketball players at their hotel rooms. Give me an effing break. Are you kidding me? You're making $1 billion off of these players? Yeah. $1 billion.
Yeah, I saw that, and then they tried to retract it, and everybody was like, "Don't even go there, man. Don't even, you know, get out of here, man. It's horrible. It really is." And you know, they play their favorites. They do with Alabama and Duke and all. I mean, it's life. It's the way things work. You know. You do business with people that you have better business relationships with. You do stuff, business with people you make more money with. It's the same exact thing. They just don't share it.
Oh, God. Man.
It's freaking horrible, man. I feel bad for those guys. Especially the guys, think about like Marcus Lattimore, who, you know, he was at South Carolina. He was a for sure first round pick, probably top 5-10, and tears both ACLs. You know, I mean, dude, stuff like that, and yeah, they could have insurance, but I mean, you know, a couple million dollars compared to, what, 100 or 40 million guaranteed, whatever it is, it's not right.
I say the NCAA is at the crossroads right now, and they may not even realize it, and they may. They're a lot smarter than me. They're at the crossroads right now. When the NFL, when you have two or three NFL executives come out and say that it's ridiculous that they're not getting paid something off of what they're making off at these schools, off the backs of them, it's ridiculous. So what's going to happen is if you don't pay them, they're fixing to create a league for them to go to. And it's going to steal all the thunder of the NCAA, college football, basketball, whatever.
Yeah, they should have already done it. They should have done that a long time ago and done, you know, tried to do something like that. But, you know, I forgot the number, but I think last year or the year before, Ole Miss alone, every team in the SEC, but Ole Miss alone got $43 million for being in the SEC. I think I think that's right. If it's not right, it's ludicrous. It's unreal right, so, the amount of money they get. You know who I think should run the NCAA next year? A. Paul Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Hey, man, what we're going to do is we're going to pay him.
Oh. Hey, all right, so let me give you a couple. Let me tell you this, and I've told you this one before off the air. You know, like that kicker in Florida. Here's where I've got beef with the NCAA. There was a guy in Florida that created kicking videos, how-to videos, and put them on YouTube. He made $300 off of ads that ran on his YouTube videos. Guess what? Automatically ruled ineligible to play in the NCAA.
Yep.
Because of his videos. Listen, here's my deal. I don't think that you, some people are going to say, well, how do you, I'm just going to use Ole Miss as an example. How do you pay DK Metcalf and offensive lineman number four the same amount? Well, you don't. You don't have to. You do pay them the same amount, but let DK Metcalf go out and be, you know, advertised for the local car dealership. It's his image. Screw you, NCAA. You don't own his image.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a bid. You're bidding. You're trying to beat the other schools. What you pay those players or what you pay them along the way is trying to build a relationship to let them know that you're going to take care of mom and dad. You're going to pay them this. You're going to give them this. Everything's going to be okay. You know, some of the guys, you know, DK, his parents, his dad, I mean, DK didn't have it that bad, but some of these kids don't have the funds and the resources to pay for this stuff like you're talking about, like apartments and food and utility bills and crap that nobody cares about these kids. It's ridiculous. I mean, who's out there, you know, besides, you know, like some of these NFL owners you're talking about and coaches that are like, this is crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Usually, you know, the thing that I've learned about life is usually the people like the NCAA. Oh, man, I can't jump off that deep end. Ooh, we could go all day on that. I'm going to stop right there. But back to your point just a second ago. I don't know if you've heard this one over the weekend. There was a coach. He just brought this up for example. He said, listen, I had parents call me and say, hey, we don't have enough money to pay for a hotel room where you guys are playing. Can we just sleep on our, you know, our kid's floor in his hotel room? Coach asked the NCAA. NCAA returns back with, if those parents are found to be in the bedrooms of their children that the college is paying for, that player will be ruled ineligible immediately.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep. It's horrible. It's not even. It's unbelievable. And then you got the whole aspect we haven't even brought up on the whole deal. The gambling. There's so much money. There's millions and millions and millions of dollars on all of these games, and all that's doing is bringing in revenue. You know, all these places. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
See, I think that there's so much money going openly now that it's opening up in all states, you know, gambling and with that, I think you got a lot more room for error when it comes to the NCAA of fixing games. Because if you don't give them some money, they're going to take it somewhere. You and I have talked about this on this podcast. I don't care what anybody thinks. This crap is, a lot of it is fixed, especially professional.
Yeah, when you have, look, man, when you have 70% of money on one bet, whether it's a total, a side, whatever, when you have 70% or more on one bet, look at how many times that bet loses. The team may not lose. Say Alabama's minus 28.5 against Eastern Michigan. Well, all of a sudden 75-80% of people are betting on Alabama because, yeah, Bama could beat them by 150, but they win by 28. And you tell me that's not on purpose. And you tell you just if you go and look, there's sites you can go to that tell you the percentage, okay? And that's how I make a lot of my bets. I'll find the games that only have 25-35% of the money on that side, and I'll take that side because it hits so much more than the favorite. And when you realize that and you think about that, you're like, something isn't making sense. You know, why did they score that late? Why did they score that late touchdown? Or why? How did? Are you sure that was a foul on that and one with 4 seconds left? Are you sure? I mean,
Would you agree that it happens more in professional than it does in college now? And let me ask you this, two-part question. In those games where you're talking about 70% of the money being on one team, I know that I'm totally asking you to guess this. What would the amount running through Vegas be on a game like that?
It depends on the size of the game. If it's a national championship game, a Super Bowl, playoff, March Madness, something like that, you're talking about anywhere from $300 to $500 million swing.
Whoa.
You know, you're talking about
it wouldn't be anything to pay somebody $100,000 to hey, we're still gonna win, but not by 28 like we need to.
Yeah, and if you watch pro games, like I enjoy watching the NBA, and I don't have a favorite team. I just like watching it because the guys are so good and they're so fast. But if you watch their games from a betting standpoint, I bet you if there's 10 games a night, 5 to 6 of those games are decided by less than 2 points. Most of the time, it's a half a point to a point.
Wow.
Like I think I told you last week. No, that was a different story. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I bet on I forgot who the team was. It doesn't matter. I had a bet on a team. I had him at 1.5, and my buddy had him at 2. Well, I forget who he plays for now, but Rudy Gay got fouled with, like, 3 seconds left. Church had we were on the same side, but he had -2. Rudy Gay had 2 free throws, and they were up by 2, and he bricks both of them. He's like an 83% free throw shooter. And he bricks 2 free throws. They win by 2. So everybody that had 2 lost their juice. And everybody that had 1.5 won. You tell me that's not fixed your crap. I'm talking about he didn't even hit the rim.
Wow. I'm off my soapbox. Hey, how's the neighbor doing? They got their leaves up yet? Moved? What's going on?
Yeah, man, they got them up, ready to go for the big springtime. I'm going to tell you what, after Essie showed me that post about that woman pulling that pistol, I kind of backed off a little bit.
I think old Rand got it in there to pull a pistol?
Man, she seems pretty wild. I don't know. Yeah, she probably would.
Gotta ask you this real quick. What do you think about the Scouters releasing their own T-shirt this weekend? See it? Do you care?
Yeah, marketing it is fine. No, I could give a crap. I mean, that dog is at somebody's house or either it's dead. I mean, either one, I don't care. I mean, it's just a dog. But, yeah, this is marketing it 101 right here. They'll sell 15,000 of those T-shirts. Because all these idiot dog lovers are like, oh, my God, poor Scout. Dude, dad's got a 15-year-old lab. It's one of the best retrievers we ever had, blah, blah, blah. It was really, really good, all that. Well, the dog can't see or hardly hear now. I mean, he's freaking 15. He wobbles around. I mean, he should have been put down a year or two ago. He's died like 9 times. He keeps coming back to life, and my parents are having a hard time because he's still eating and he gets around okay. And it's like, man, what do we do? I mean, you know, it's a hard decision, blah, blah, blah. Well, yesterday my kids go down the pond and the damn dog's drowning. He just got out the pond somehow and couldn't get out. So, I mean, it's everybody's freaking out. One of my twins runs and gets dad and he puts his waders on, goes and gets the dog. The dog bites him. I'm just like, God, I mean, how far does this have to go? Like, look, it's a tough decision. It's hard. Pets are easy to love more than anything in the world, but sometimes I know I'm going to go over there one day and find the dog dead. I don't want to be the one to find him. So not to get heavy on a Monday, but that's what we're dealing with here in Jackson today. But just to put this out there, the dog survived. He's fine. Dad's got bit 3 or 4 times. The kids are traumatized, but other than that, everything's great.
Oh gosh. Hey, got a question for you. Thinking about this last night. Better movie from the 80s. Top Gun, Beverly Hills Cop, or Ghostbusters?
Beverly Hills Cop, it's not even close.
Really?
It's not even close. And you got to have Rad in there somewhere. It's got to be top 5 to 7.
I mean, those are 3 iconic movies.
Ghostbusters is goofy. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I ain't afraid of no ghost. Like, you're shooting slime or whatever. Whatever.
If we're into remaking movies, I think that you could remake Beverly Hills Cop with Kevin Hart.
You could, but let's not get into the whole remake thing. Back to the Future 2 and 3. I mean, let's just keep it at 1, man. And then, I mean...
I'm not talking about sequels. I'm talking about remakes. Just like... One of the worst remakes ever is my kids wanted to watch Ghostbusters that just came out like a year or two ago. No. We are not watching that crap in our house.
You can't subject your kids to that. And I'm going blank. What's happening to me? What was the other one? Oh, Top Gun. Top Gun's awesome. It's great. But Top Gun's great. We'll throw it too. But you got to throw Ghostbusters completely out.
See, I'm going to have to argue with you on that. And here's why. I actually think Beverly Hills Cop 3 is better than the other two.
It may be, but Eddie Murphy is one of the greatest comedian actors to ever live.
You know, there's so many people now, you walk up and ask who Eddie Murphy is. I think I should do a street study. You know who Eddie Murphy is?
I'm cooking hamburgers and Frank's. Not a brontosaurus burger. I bought it.
9 out of 10 wouldn't know.
Well, that's ridiculous. And Richard Pryor, he's right there with him. But Eddie Murphy he is incredible. Cooking hamburgers and Frank's.
I would agree with you. I'd put Top Gun at, but I would swap it. That 3 of the better movies from the 80s.
Did you cry when Goose died?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Nope. That's a job you realize that you could. I kind of grew up with a father that came from the armed services. You kind of go into battle knowing you may die.
Yeah. Like Forrest Gump.
Hey, could you give me a quote from any of those 3? I was thinking my favorite quote from all 3 of those last night.
I mean, I don't know about quotes, but the one in Top Gun, what was the guy's name? The Iceman. They're going back and forth. It's like, see you tomorrow. So, I mean, I don't know. Man, I haven't seen either. I haven't seen any of those movies in a while. I probably should get...
No, Top Gun, the ultimate quote from it is, Jester's dead.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Beverly Hills Cop, when he walks up to the front desk of the Beverly Hills Hotel. He goes through his rent, and then he still finds out it's $230 a night. Ghostbusters, the quote of it from it, Ray, if somebody asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Good stuff, man.
Now that's Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah, boy. Ghostbusters.
Beverly Hills Cop, man. It was on yesterday.
You give me Beverly Hills Cop, Caddyshack, Rad, The Great Outdoors. You give me those four, and I'll sit at home all day. I'll call in sick.
I forgot about Caddyshack. Man, Caddyshack was at the beginning of my... I was young. When did it come out? 80, 81?
Was it that old? I thought it was mid-80s. I don't know. Maybe it was, but that's the Caddyshack's my favorite movie of all time.
It may even be 79.
I don't know, but... That hot girl goes into Ty's apartment. He's got checks for like $70,000 laying everywhere. He's like, yeah, whatever.
80. Came out in 80.
That's such a great movie.
1980.
And I never slice. Gambling is illegal at Bushwood.
Well, Rob, what do you have planned for the rest of the week? Are you chasing Godzilla's children this week?
Yeah, I'm going to try to ease down to Mississippi Wednesday. Looks like the wind's going to be down a little bit before these storms come in this weekend and see what I can't muster up down there. They'll be hating on me, people, calling me user and all this. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to ease down there middle of the week, and then Friday, Saturday, and the rest of the year it'll be on like a chicken bone.
I bet Godzilla has some. He really... has some children running around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready for him, too. I mean, I'm ready for him. I can't wait.
I mean, that was your I-55. I mean, that was two great turkey stories, Godzilla and I-55.
Yeah, he was, but the thing about Godzilla was I didn't miss him because I could never find him. I mean, I could see him, but I could never get a shot. I mean, he trolled me forever. But I probably would have missed. I would have missed too. I mean, if I had the opportunity, you know, I probably could have taken a couple of sketchy shots. But yeah, I can't wait to kill his children.
I'm just imagining Godzilla sitting around the fire with the fire pit with his children, telling them about you.
If you sit right here, you'll see his fat ass coming through, and you can bust him about 6:45. Yeah. Asshole. Hate that turkey.
Oh, Godzilla had you patterned.
Yeah, he did. And knew what I looked like, smelled like, where I parked.
All right, Rob. Well, I enjoyed it. Thank you again for being here. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.